It's a bit after three. And I would like to reconvene this meeting, which actually started at 2, with a most excellent work session. And I think my feeling is, Pam, that it's your idea, we should continue on doing those in perhaps a more focused way, but I think they're very productive. So the first item on the regular agenda is the consent agenda. Specifically, are there initially any modifications or comments about tonight's November 28th regular session agenda? Dr. Mark? No. Lisa?
No.
Okay. No. And Warren? Okay, very good. Can I hear a motion for passing of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Obviously not. All in favor? Aye.
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 Passes unanimously. Next order of business is the San Juan County PhD number one operations report. Superintendent Pam Hutchins, ma'am.
All right. For the month of October, we October is one of our property tax months where people pay their property taxes, and we had a total receipts of $401,911.80. There were $31.63 of leasehold tax, and that made our total cash available at the end of October was and is $672,755.38. For disbursements, we had $13,064.11 for October. We didn't process any payroll. In October, we will be processing the last quarter for the commissioner fees in the month of December. So you'll see that. There were not any public record costs recorded in October. And if you look at your financials on the revenue and expenditure by fund, it will show you what's budgeted for 2018, what came in and was expended in October, and then the year-to-date actuals. If you do October, we should have spent about 84% where our total should be. If you look at the revenues, when you get down to the percentage, it says 62.20, but they are not adding in on the year-to-date actual. That total, you need to add the $713,126 of the beginning cash. So if you do that comparison, we'd actually have about 97% of revenues in, and that's largely due to more property tax revenues and in especially new construction for the year. So that is up. And in expenditures, we are going. We had $1,289,689.98 in expenditures, which is only 64.21%. So we are well under budget on those expenditures. If anybody have any questions on the financial sheets? Nope.
Yes, I do. We talked about that earlier, that didn't add that 713. Is that an even
mm-hmm.
thing? So
it
yes,
it's an even thing. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the operations side, I'm very pleased and happy to report. A lot of you know that the medical center sale was finalized. I turned over the keys last Friday, and Nathan spent about 2 weeks really getting the medical center all, you know, cleaned out, and I scheduled 13 dumpster loads of trash. I had to keep running down there and paying. The town has this policy where you have to pay in advance for each dumpster. So it was hard to figure how many, you know, dumpsters we were going to need. So I did a lot of driving around the island finding somebody to sign checks for the dumpster trash, but we got that done. The medical center looked really well, the best I've ever seen it look inside, because of course it didn't have much left in it, but it, we turned it over very clean, and it was really, for me, kind of a surreal feeling to walk through the halls the last time and remember, you know, how many people were treated there, and just the excellent work that was done there. And so,
First of all, the new owner is very, very pleased with the way the property was turned over to his corporation. And personally, I'd like to thank Dr. Appleton for his heroic efforts along with Nathan. And hopefully you threw that sweatshirt away, didn't you, Warren?
No, that's my favorite shirt. Time.
Yeah, I'd get a new one. Anyhow, Warren particularly was really in there moving heavy stuff around. So the board is very appreciative of that.
There was an article in a journal, I believe, that showed a picture of the old medical cabinet with the medical, the old medical equipment. We moved that to the district office, so if anybody would, you know, like to look inside and see some of that things I looked at was pretty scary. It, I was facing that back then, but it's a very good reminder, you know, of how far and how much the medical center meant to everyone and where it came from. So the
there's also a sign with the old Hilburton language on equitable care from probably the 1960s, the type of cardboard it was on. I tried to find a date on it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't find
the
date.
Two great books in there. That are just fun to look at.
Right.
In the history of medicine.
Yeah. So we probably will turn over.
I'm sorry?
Do they have leeches in them?
No.
No.
We probably will turn over about $825,000 to EMS. We're waiting for the last expenses to come in, but that probably be about the amount of money that we will get.
If we put all that against the bond, what would be left?
About a million.
Chris, I think less than that.
Less, yeah.
About 870.
Didn't
we do 1.4? Since we were at
1.4. Give me a second.
Sure.
But we are putting it against the bond.
Well,
it's
not with the residual and
when?
Yes.
The bond is.
So when are we doing that?
No, you're probably right, Michael. I believe it's
the balance is 1.8 something, wasn't it, Chris?
Yes. Yeah, maybe somewhere
do
around a million.
Here. I'll tell you in a sec. Let me be in a
I did it in my head. Yeah, I know it's all.
While he's looking up that figure, I'll go on to the Citizens Advisory Group meets.
Before you leave the subject, I'd like to make a motion that the board formally commend you, Nathan, and Warren for your hard work and express our appreciation for all that.
Thank you.
It's been a long road.
Yes, it has.
So I make a motion.
That's a I'll second that.
Okay. And Nathan, that was outside of your job description to be filling up all those dumpsters. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, your limit is 10. So.
I'm just glad we got it done. It worked out well.
I think I made a friendly amendment that it would be nice to send a letter to the young man, Frank, who worked so hard.
And, I did get
he could actually use it because he might be looking for a job. And
right.
Me,
I did make him a certificate.
I'm not looking for jobs anymore, but he could actually use it, and it would really be nice if we sent him something and thanked him for all of his efforts.
Yeah, certificate.
I made him a certificate, and we told him we would be happy to write him a letter.
Good.
For his.
Okay, great.
His
I'm glad.
Yeah,
that.
He
yeah.
was
yeah.
very.
He worked.
Instrumental. Yes.
Oh, and he worked.
Yeah,
and
he was a hard worker.
Yeah,
he was very.
So
hard
we
working.
Have a motion on the floor.
I second.
Any further discussion? That's second already.
Not third.
Okay. Can we call for a fourth? No. And no further discussion, I presume, so we'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good.
Well, I can't vote on that because ethically I can't vote on the motion.
That
helps. It goes to me.
Very kind.
So I have to abstain.
Okay.
I read that yesterday.
Okay, so the Citizen Advisory Group, it meets tonight at the district office at 6:30. And then I think the next meeting they have is December 5th at 6:30. And then again on December 19th at 6:30. And remind everyone, you can go to the district website, and there is a section there about the Citizen Advisory Group, and you can find out all kinds of information and how to contact the members, and there's meeting minutes and audios of the meetings, and of course they are open to the public if you want to attend in person. So, Chris, did you find an answer?
806.
806?
Oh, approximately. You're right.
Yeah. Great.
So what do we have 806,000 left?
So it was current balance is that we'll finish the year at without this would be 1,630,000-ish.
Right.
And so by the end of the year with our December payment and then this it'll be about at 825,000 if that's what goes on to it.
When is it due?
When's the maturity date on the debt? It's the 2022, I believe. So that's the point in which it would be refinanced, and it would down to a lower interest rate, a lower payment. So there's a reason why we did some analysis before about whether it made sense to refinance it immediately or to wait. And it not only are interest rates higher now than what they were then, the value of that bond, the spread on it, because it's a tax-free bond for with tax rates being lower now, it actually ends up even being a bigger spread on what our benefit is. So
the bigger spread on the benefit of waiting to refinance?
A bigger spread on the change in interest and everything. So it's better, it works out to being a better deal just to, we're going to have to refinance anyway, and it's only a couple of more years. So it would make more sense just to keep up the current payments at a lower rate. We'll be able to pay down a lot more than if we refinanced it late and waited. Or at least that was my analysis. The last time I looked at this was, 5 months ago or something, so I'm a little fuzzy. But
I'm going to digress for just 1 second. So you bring up the point back to the 3 and 5 year plan?
Yes.
We need to also look at our finances and a projection along those lines for 3 and 5 year plans. Not only what we're going to take in, but where we think the market's going to be, if we're going to borrow money. Sort of build some financial views in a 3 or 5 year plan. You mentioned that, it just popped into my mind, and I just thought I'd mention it.
Okay. I will.
Thank you.
Okay. As far as the long-term care network, the group met with Jody Corona. She's a facilities planner. She did a lot of work on the PINC hospital project, and we met with her on October 4th and talked about the next steps of what we needed to look at next, and she... The comprehensive plan, feasibility study, needs to be done for our community and area to see exactly what our needs are here and what things could work or not. So that is scheduled to take place as we started. It's going to cost about $50,000 for that. Feasibility study, we already have $5,000 from the leftover of the grant that we were partnered with for the 13 hospital districts. And that will give a a nice view and what we really need to concentrate on to see what comes next here. You know, some areas we, during the task force, you know, we identified several things that were working places, the micro units, having a home care organization to send out, you know, people. A lot of people want to, you know, age in place in their homes, so to have a actual home care organization to look into that, paired with some building structures. So it's Evan Perlitz is the chairman of that group, and he's working on right now the press release to send out in about a week and a half, that will give a lot of information as to where we are, what the feasibility study is for, what it will give back the information for. So, and then I already talked about the medical center sale is finalized on November 16th. So because of that, that's that budget. Before, I said I had done two budgets, so I presented two budgets. So we are going to use the budget without the medical center expenses in it. So that's the one that's presented and will be on the website. And it is on the website right now. And that's my operations report. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, Patty. So the next order of business is Salmon on the EMS operations report. Chief Jerry Martin, sir.
Good evening, commissioners. For the month of October, we had 92 calls, which gave us so we're right around 8 calls above what we were last year. Again, with the community paramedicine program, where it is, our numbers would be higher if we weren't using that program. So, the community paramedicine program that we have set up, working with the other social programs in Peace Island, is working very good. We had 16 transports with Island Air, 9 transports with Airlift. I'm going to turn this over to Chris so he can go to the financial review at this time.
Greetings. So we're at, after we finished October out, I was really surprised to see how well we're really doing compared to even what our amended budget was. We're currently, even though we're at 83% into the year, our revenue is at 93% of budget. We brought in about $558,000 of revenue. Of course, a lot of that is property tax receipts, and so bringing us to $2,019,000 year to date. Our expenses were pretty much consistent with per month at about $177,000. Bringing us at $1,599,000 year to date. So at revenue, we're already at 93% of budget through October, and for expenses, we're only at 75% of budget. Our cash, we finished the month at over $1 million in cash, $1,093,538. So we're basically sitting right now at $423,000 higher than what we expected to finish the year with. Now we're going to probably burn some again because we don't have the big property tax receipts. We're sitting right now on 6 months of expenditures. So we're sitting in a really healthy position. Like I said, there's going to be some expenditures at the end of the month, for year end. It's just looking really good, a lot better than we expected. Now, some of this is because the GEMT funds have come in higher than what we had budgeted on the amended budget. And we're still working with, we got to finish working with the billing company to get a decent projection of the of what we expect to get for the rest of the year and into next year. So it's kind of hard to know when we only have a, you know, we'll finish the year with maybe 2 months of those receipts. So knowing how we're going to, you know, how that's going to play in the rest of the time is a little difficult to project. I think that's been a big portion of our performance.
Are you going to bill us by the end of the year?
Yeah, well? I'm in the midst. I'm almost done with that. It's when I set up my practice, I've set up with a fixed fee structure with everybody, so this is the only one that I've kept billed hourly, and so I didn't have as consistent of a standard billing software that I've used for hours.
So we have the budgeted amount for you. Is it going to come in?
It's going to end up being lower because some of the billings are going to the district too with the audit side. Mm-hmm. So where I think we're going to finish that is probably about $30,000, and we budgeted $40,000. So unless this coming audit takes a whole bunch more time, but I don't really expect it will.
The plan is for it not to.
Exactly. That's the plan. And by having simpler financial statements and only being a year, I was involved with the whole year, it should be a lot. It should be a pretty straightforward process. And they'll be coming here on the 10th, and we're going to be have a call with them on Friday. Trying to think if there's anything else on the list.
I had a question about the unemployment. It's really, it's just, it may just be that it wasn't budgeted. It's really high. I was just wondering, are there unemployment claims coming in?
There was one unemployment claim from an employee that left, and or that they're from a couple of years ago, and so there's kind of a, when they set the rates, it's at the beginning of the year, so it's kind of based on prior claims, so there's a lag period there. I don't know what it's going to be this coming year. But we'll be factoring that in more accurately when we do an amended budget. When that was something that I caught later after we'd submitted the amended budget, but what we projected, it was going to be like a $3,000 or $4,000 difference, and didn't think it was worth the reevaluating the entire budget for that.
It's pretty high, just for it is. It was gone for a couple of years. I know the way they structure it.
So basically the claim would have been from it started 2 years ago. So our unemployment in 2017 was pretty low, so it all just kicked in 2018. Okay. And like I said, I don't know what we're expecting for 2019. But I think I could probably find out from unemployment on that. Any other questions?
Yes, I have one.
Okay.
The dues and memberships. What were those?
Dues and memberships?
Dues and memberships. What are those? Is that magazines, groups?
No, those are actual, I think it falls into certifications as well. And
that's
right.
Okay.
Programs.
And program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you to continue on with the ACH information that Chris was talking about, we just received another check from the ACH for $27,000.
Yay!
For it, and that's for our second part of the community paramedicine program check. So that'll be showing up next month's reports as far as that. So far, we have received from the ACH $55,300, which is a really nice for us to be getting that. The GMT funds that we did, I just submitted our yearly report to them, and so the monies that we have been collecting this year should remain for next year too. So that money shouldn't be changing at all.
When you say submitted to them, who exactly are them?
Them is the GEMT folk, the...
in Olympia?
Yes.
And how long does it take them to turn around with... to see the report and figure out what they're going to do? And then we had this discussion the last time about whether Medicaid expansion is part of... isn't that part of this budget that they have?
This comes out of Social Security, so the funding that we were getting from the GEMT, they can't take that away. So that funding will be there. They can reduce, because right now I think we're at the high spot at 93% of per transport for the our Medicaid patients. That can drop down to 90%, and that 90% is the lowest that the post Obamacare funding can be. So it can drop down to 90%, and that's it. But this also is dependent on what our cost per transport is. So every year we have to submit to the state, the GEMT folks, what our budget is, how many calls are going on, what we're receiving in as our budget, what our expenditures are, and there's a big calculation that goes on that, and ours has ours actually went up just a little bit from last year to this year.
Our budgeted billings went up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and so that will go up here.
May or may not go up, depending on what the 93 or 90. And
right,
so close.
So it should stay the same. That percent, that 90% number will go down a little bit from 93 to 92%, but our average call cost will go up, so it should be about the same. And then we are waiting here, this week, next week, for the GEMT monies for the first year. For from 2016 to 2017, that fiscal year, we have not received payment on that, nor has anybody else. So those payments should be coming out any day. They were waiting on that.
We know this?
Or yes.
We've heard rumors of this? Or
We know this for a fact, yeah. Staffing, Caitlin will be back next week. So we'll be having her back. And then Valerie, our assistant, will be taking a week off here. I believe it's the second week in December. So Caitlin will be sitting in that position while Valerie is gone. Community, as far as we've been doing a lot of CPR and first aid classes, and I want to put a big shout out to the C Foundation. We received a $10,000 grant from them, and with that was for CPR mannequins. And to get us to the latest technology for that. So we've got four adult, four pediatric, the software and the hardware for that. So I want to give them a really big thank you.
Which foundation?
C Foundation.
C's Candy.
So a big
so we're going to recognize them by sending them a note, or I mean we say shout out.
Laney does that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Laney does that.
Yeah, okay. Just wondering.
IAFF Local 3219, no report. CID, no report. I talked to our attorney today, and still on the same strategy that I've been reporting for months. Operations, the fatigue assessment, there is nothing.
Do we get charged each month by this attorney?
When we discuss our strategy and when we're using a lot of his time, yes. So there was a phone call from me, and then a phone call from another person on the board that did cost money with this attorney. So operations, the fatigue assessment, there is nothing to report. There's none of the EMTs or paramedics had a fatigue that they need, or a day or a call that they thought needed to be reported or assessed. Work with other departments on the medical program protocols. On the EMT class for 2019, we just received notification of a $3,000 grant for the EMT class. Right now we have, we interviewed 12, we have 8 confirmed that will be in the class, maybe 9. The ninth person is looking for, see about getting a schedule arranged for that, and then we'll have testing 3 more for their national registry. And then you might have seen Jennifer English. She's a per diem paramedic that worked here a couple days last month for us. She's going to be on our per diem schedule, and she's worked for Island Air as a paramedic for them. She worked for Skagit Medic 1, and now she's going to be going to work for, looks like, for Burlington Fire. The community paramedicine, we've got a meeting sometime in December that hasn't yet been determined. And then Gelada, they're going over their paramedic software tomorrow, and Everett and Laney will be at that meeting tomorrow, bringing that back. On the Gelada software, the hospital really wants, we were talking back and forth on how we could, the best use, the best way we could do it. And the hospital said that they have grant money that they would like to use to operate the Gelada program. So we're working on a program right now where they will be the lead. And the money that we spent on the Gelada program, they will reimburse us for that. So we should be getting money back from that, from Peace Island Medical Center. That's all I have for my report. Anything from you folks?
Last month, we discussed, or you discussed it, you were talking to Navy, Coast Guard, about the outer islands that I feel that we don't serve well, the other islands in the district, and said you had been trying to schedule a meeting. Have we had that meeting? Are we formulating a plan on how we're going to?
We had a meeting with the Coast Guard. This was back in September, and we talked about a particular response that we had. That in fact, you made mention of it, that about Orcas responding to the call as well. And we did a review of that call, and we are still, we haven't released the results of that. There's still a couple more facts that we're looking for on that. That was the major discussion that we had with that Coast Guard meeting.
Do we have any input from the Outer Island taxpayers? We asked for it. Have they come to us about responses out there?
No. In fact, the person that we responded to on this call was not a resident of the island. This person was a...
No, I'm not talking about that person in particular, but I've heard from constituents that they wonder why they're paying taxes to us, and, you know, we don't really have a good response. I don't have a good response to them about why they're not getting service and we're using mutual aids and stuff like that. And also, I didn't look at this, but Dr. Johnson, when he presented to the CAG, our mutual aid agreements, the last revision of those was 2009, I think he said. I have notes someplace, I can get that to you. But it was almost 10 years that we revisited our mutual aid agreements and responsibilities, which is concerning to me.
Mutual aid is what departments do for each other.
I know. Yeah.
And so this particular call that was out there on Stewart Island that you're making reference to, the call initially went from the person's boat via radio to the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard then contacted Orcas Fire and Rescue for their response on that. And Orcas Fire and Rescue initiated a response to that. Then they contacted our dispatch, and then the discussion was, should we be responding to this call? And then the call came out that, well, should Airlift be dispatched to this call? And the big thing that we're finding on that particular call is communications. There was a big communications breakdown on this call. It was terrible. But as far as your other question, as far as the mutual aid, we have heard from people that we go out there that our response is they're very appreciative that we can get there. A lot of times it is during stormy nights, windy nights, and for us to, a lot of times we respond with either Airlift or with the Navy or the Coast Guard to get these people off the island. So it when you live on an island out there, it's a time consuming for us to go out to get ready, to do all the necessary checks, and we're also responding as we're doing these checks to make sure that we can get the air support out there, and work with these folks. So we're doing everything possible, and we're looking at ways to better our response times with the neighboring department.
Thank you.
Can you update us on the medical protocols for BLS and ALS? I know there's been some discussion about...
There hasn't been any movement.
And are they fine as stands? Is that correct?
Pardon me?
Are they meeting the standards as they are at this time?
We had a question. There was a question that came up here a couple months ago on the dosage that one of our paramedics gave that was according to the protocols that we had that are 7 years old, that wasn't consistent with the practice of today. So there are questions on these protocols. Do they meet the minimum? Yes. But there are, for drugs, drugs change, dosages change, routes change, and so I think this is, in fact, I was in a meeting here 2 weeks ago where, 7 years without a protocol change is not the standard.
So what steps are being taken to rectify that?
Well, we had a meeting with the San Juan Island San Juan County EMS, and we were told that ALS would be done in by September 1st. That has not been done. We know that there are right now. We think they're just sitting with nothing going on. We have not heard any movement with the protocols at all.
The board made a motion last month, mm-hmm. and it was for December.
Right. I was just wondering if there's been any progress at all this month, because it's almost December.
We have not been notified.
Part of their issue is funding. Don't they try to put it on electronic?
Pardon me?
Part of the issue is funding, to be able to put it on the electronic so the whole county's on the same program and they can dial into and it's easily changeable.
All the four major islands contribute to the San Juan County EMS, and there is funds available out of that that's been devoted to this fund. So funding isn't an issue.
So there actually is money in the trauma EMS
yes.
council budget for
yes.
this. Do you know how much that is?
Yes.
How much is it?
Pardon me?
I said, do you know how much that is in their budget for this?
Gosh, I want to say the program was right around $800 or so. And last I heard, there's about $10,000 in the bank for the San Juan County EMS.
But there has to be data input into the program. There has to be someone actually to put the data into the program.
And they've been paying a person to get that information ready. And we've even offered our staff in this office to get that ready. We've even offered our staff availability to put it on paper so we have something basic to go off of first before we put it on electronic. And that's been denied.
Is that it, Chief?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions of Chief Martin?
Thank you, sir. I did have one more question. Where is this now? Average EMTs per call seems to vary right around 2.73 to 2.9, something like that.
It's dropped down to the low 2.2s at some times, but we're about two and a half EMTs per call. Sometimes we get seven or eight. Sometimes we get one with one paramedic.
What's optimal?
Pardon me?
What's optimal?
Depends on the call.
Range, then? Simple call, complex call?
A simple transport call from the airport or from the hospital to the airport. We could do it with the staffing from airlift or the hospital. Mm-hmm. If you have a CPR, 16. So it can vary.
Okay, thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Next order of business on the agenda is audience participation. Richard.
I've been thinking about this for quite some time, so I put my thoughts in writing, and I'm going to read it because I don't want to leave anything out. I'd like to make a comment about the hospital commissioner's accountability in the matter of requiring the chief to document his training currency as opposed to his certification. The four paramedics have documented their currency. The chief has not, despite repeated requests from both Dr. Sullivan, the MPD, and members of this commission. To my mind, the issue seems simple. Either the chief is current in his annual education requirements and should produce the documentation immediately and put an end to this situation, or the chief is not current and he needs to be suspended immediately as a paramedic until he gets current. I'm at a loss to understand why three of you have allowed this insubordination to persist. In frustration, I filed a public disclosure request to get the recordings of Commissioner Smith's committee. I've listened to those recordings once and intend to do so again. What I can say at this point is, number one, the minutes produced by Commissioner Smith present a highly sanitized and misleading version of those discussions. Number two, Katie Holstein of the State Department of Health made an unequivocal recommendation to the chief that he promptly submit his documentation of currency to Dr. Sullivan. If he's unwilling to submit it to Dr. Sullivan, Holstein said, he should submit it to her. Number three, Commissioner Appleton then asked the chief point blank if he would do so, and the chief again evaded by replying he'd have to consult with his lawyer. And all of this occurred 3 months ago. As you well know, State Health is currently investigating at least one complaint concerning this issue. My impression to date is that the majority of this commission, specifically Commissioners Edwards, Schwinge, and Smith, has abdicated its responsibility and tried to shunt the issue off to State Health. Katie Holstein clearly and unequivocally put the burden back on the chief. You are the chief's supervisors. He's your employee. This is your responsibility. It's preposterous for you to claim that this is not your job, as some of you have stated. As a taxpayer, I expect you to bring this to an adult conclusion promptly. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Anyone else? Sure.
I have a question about what you were saying about your budget and how you're, you know, so high on the revenue and 75% on expenditures. But isn't that misleading? Because, I mean, it would be like if I got paid twice a year, I said, woohoo, I'm in the money when those months that the pay came in. I mean, wouldn't it be more straightforward to say?
Well, I try to qualify that every, almost every meeting, that we do have those big fluctuations where the substantial portion of the of our property tax receipts come in April and October. If you look at what our average receipts have, and I guess I could have, maybe should have elaborated on this, but when you look at what our average receipts are per month for just for the ambulance services, mm-hmm. We'll come in, we're going to probably come in right at budget, and then the, like I said, it was the GEMT that has, you know, that money has been far higher than what we had budgeted, and then the ACH grant that's coming in is also higher than we had budgeted.
All right, thanks.
Any other questions?